Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you, Father, for the image being fully restored, that we are restored in you, Father, fully, fully, to your creative will, your creative design. This is a generation of creativity, Father, like no other generation, that will dwell in your creative heart and bring out the creative glory, your creative mind and your creative will, Father, in your glorious name. Amen. Praise God. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. It says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The way we read that so many times is a little off the mark, because he didn't say seek first kingdom works. He said seek first the kingdom. Amen? Because sometimes we look at that viewpoint, it's like, don't seek anything in the world. Don't think anything in the world. He's very evident. He wants these things added to you. He said he'll add, freely add. If you've been around a long time, you'll have wisdom. But if you've been around, you'll find out that things just don't get freely added. They're supposed to be freely added, but you don't really see that as often as we should. If you really understand what he's saying here, he's actually talking about two different systems. He's talking about the system of the world versus God's kingdom. He's saying, seek first the kingdom of God, how it operates, how it functions, the mysteries contained in it. He says, because they're truly a treasure hidden in a field. And he goes, if you find this kingdom, then all the things that people seek and labor and toil for will be freely added to you. That's what he's saying. He goes, there is a way. He's saying, don't spend your whole life toiling and laboring for a system of works, toil and labor, but seek, put all your focus, all your attention, all your energy, all of your love and all your passion into understanding, learning, operating and functioning in the kingdom of God. And when you do that, there's going to be a transformational process where all things will get freely added. You never see the Lord walking around wondering where his next meal came from. I mean, when the Lord was demonstrated, he could give guys, we took him out in the boat, 3.5 year payday. That's why Peter fell down on the middle of those fish. He fell and the boat was full of fish because he saw the glory of God manifested. Because he'd been up all night and caught nothing. But man, he saw the glory of God manifest on those waters. And when he come back, he said, follow me. Just gave his family the provision. That's powerful. That's how the kingdom works. That's an operation that we are now discovering and moving into. I'll say this. It's an operation that God is opening to us now. It's this operation that he wants us to learn of. It's a learning process. And the hard part about it is let go of the way you do things to learn how to do it God's way. Because we get set in stone. We don't realize, but we get set in certain ways. And you have to let go of certain ways and understanding, even certain ways that have gotten us where we are. Think about it, in the wilderness, they got manna every day, and all of a sudden they move, they step over the Jordan into Gilgal, and he says, no more manna. That's it. Everything changes now. This is a land of inheritance now. I'm going to freely give you this. So he shuts off one level provision to give them a whole brand new operation. But they had to transition because they're just so used to going out and gathering the manna that was only good for one day, when he's going to give them an inheritance that was good for generations. And so he was shifting them from a one-day mindset to a generational mindset. And he was also shifting their provision into a generational provision. Because God thinks generational. This is the way he is. When you get into the Father, he's always generational. Amen? And so he's talking about, if you seek first this kingdom, he goes, once you learn how to operate in it, all the things people seek, labor, and toil all their life for, it's going to get freely added to you. And that's really where we're going. To get the freely added things so we can truly serve God in a full capacity without limitation. Amen? Because he wants to take the limits off. And that's what the realm of the Father does. It takes the realm, it takes the limits off. The Father is unlimited. Amen? He thinks at a whole nother level. And when he shares his thoughts towards you, sometimes you have to acclimate to his thoughts because they're high, they're large, they're big, and they're meant to challenge your present belief system. Amen? He's going to challenge you. And he's going to restructure the way you see you. Because he wants you to see you the way he sees you. And he wants you, the way you see you, the way he sees you, and get an alignment in the frequency of the way he sees you. And then he can do what he wants to do with you. That's why he likes to get you where he is. Away from the world, away from the systems that have dominated your life and programmed you. And he gets you out of program and he shoves a new computer chip in you, you know. Praise God. Amen. All right, so that thought in mind, I want you to go to Matthew 13. I think I might understand what these measures are now. I've been looking for these three measures. I want to know how the kingdom leavens. Because if you can get the leavening effect, that causes the rise, the expansion, and the multiplication. That's what we need, that free leaven. We don't want to open the oven and go flat. We want to open the oven and go shoo. It's that mushrooming, leavening, expansion, multiplication effect that we're needing. Amen? And I don't think by chance he said three. He said three for a reason. I think I know what they are. Praise God. Matthew 13, verse 11. He answered and said to them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. First thing we need to know about the kingdom of God, it's a mystery. And most of its mysteries, the present day church, not this church, but the present day church doesn't know very much about this realm. They know church, they know anointings, they know giftings, they know operations, but this realm called the mystery. He called it a mystery. It was a mystery, meaning you're going to have to go to a classroom and understand what this is talking about in order for it to function and operate. Amen. Underline that scripture, put some eyeballs on it and say, look, 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 unto you is given. You need to confess that everything unto me has been given to know. I've been given the grace to know, understand, and fully be antiquated with the mysteries of the kingdom. Amen. Because that's where the hundredfold is. Amen. Now look down in verse 18. He says, now he's going to describe, he's talking about the sower sowed the word. He's not just sowing any word. He's sowing the word of the kingdom. Verse 18 says, hear you therefore the parable of the sower. When any one of you hear what? Verse 19. If you hear the word of the what? The whole Bible is not the word of the kingdom. There are certain words there for instruction, but there are certain words are the word of the kingdom. And they contain the mystery of the kingdom. And it's generally the ones you don't understand are the word of the kingdom and the mystery of the kingdom. Most everything the Lord was speaking in parable form, that's all kingdom. It all required understanding of the mystery of how it worked, the word of the kingdom. Amen? And it's that word of the kingdom unto us that has been given to know and understand that he's talking about in verse 23. And he received unto the good ground, he that heareth the word and understand. If you read Mark 4 and Luke 8, it'll say, hear the word of the kingdom, receive the word of the kingdom, understand the word of the kingdom, keep the word of the kingdom. You got to have all four of those. Hear, receive, understand, keep. Say hear, receive, understand, keep. Keep. That's not do, keep. Don't get confused with the doing. There's a doing. This is talking about word of kingdom. This word's coming in as seed. It's got to be kept, nurtured. Amen? Until it groweth up. Until it begins to do its work of 30, 60, 100 fold. Now, my name is Jimmy. And we take all, Father, you give me. We're after 100 fold. I mean, God's not going to put a target there and expect you not to go after. He likes the fact you're going after 100 fold. He loves it. He wishes everybody would at least have a compass. Hey, if I shoot for 100 and I get 80, I'm, you know, praise God. Aim high. Amen. But I can tell you something about the 100 fold. It's not in the sandbox Christianity. You're not going to find 100 fold. 100 fold is found in the glory. It's found in one place, in my opinion, is John 17, 24. I will you be with me where I am, that you may behold my glory, which is the Father. And to have the hundredfold, I believe we have to understand the mysteries of John 14, 15, 16, 17. I don't believe you can have the hundredfold without understanding those mysteries. You can have 30 and 60, but a hundredfold measure is what he walked in. That's the anointing without measure. That wasn't the limited version in the Corinthian model where he anointed us severally as he wills. That was the anointing without measure. We have been invited to come in to the anointing and to the glory that's without measure. Amen. We've been invited in. Father's invited. Lord's invited. Made a way, made a room, made a place, showed us a way, sent us the Holy Spirit, given us the mysteries, give us understanding of the mysteries. Amen. Given us a pathway. Now, verse 33 is where I'm centered in. It started floating through me. Well, you get in the Father and just kind of relax once you get up in the Father's love, where he is, not here, where he's at, and start praying in tongues under your breath. Just relax. He'll start feeding you his innumerable thoughts towards you. He will start opening who he is, who you are in him. He'll start showing you things to come. This floated up through me yesterday. I'm like, ooh, that's it. Verse 33, another parable. All those parables, Mark 4, Matthew 13, all those, he's talking about kingdom now. Think about this. He said, it's like a treasure hidden in the field. The man will sell all that he has. I mean, you have to know. That's why he says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is and believe that he's a rewarder. You got to know that you're going to sell your whole life out to find this kingdom. It's going to manifest something a little more than church. It's going to manifest something. It's going to be way above anything any one of us could do in the natural. In every area. Amen. But you got to know and you have to sell everything. You have to go after it. I want Justin just for a minute. Come up here, Justin, for a minute. I'm just going to use Justin as an example because he's a really good one. Because I'm going to eliminate Justin. You can write across him, says, eliminate excuses. Because he works full time. He is a married man to Haiti, praise God, an awesome husband. He's a golfer. And he found time to ascend the mountain of God. And now he can lead others while he works full time. Sometimes gets off work, comes up here and leads everybody and gets back up at 6 a.m, goes back to work at 100-degree weather with a welding helmet. And I don't ever hear him complain. Do you ever hear him complain? Now, so if he can do that, nothing can stand in your way. Because he knows the reason he does it, because something in him knows that there's a treasure on the end of this thing. And I'm going to go after it. And I'm going to get it. And I'm going to obtain it. And now he's leading some of you that have far more time than he does. But if he can do that with that schedule and find time to golf when I have no idea how he can do that, you can do it. Let's give the Lord a hand. Praise God. Amen. That's pretty awesome. I kind of marvel at that. Takes a lot. Sometimes you have to get up 3 a.m. to pray before he goes to work. That's pretty awesome. So today, say, Father, I surrender all excuses. I can pursue, understand, and obtain kingdom of God. So verse 33. So another parable spake he unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, is like unto leaven, which a woman took, and she hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. I don't think that 3 measures by accident. Not in this verse. When he's talking about the mysteries of the kingdom, he's talking about 100-fold word of the kingdom. I don't think that was accident. He said 3 measures. Amen. I wrote this down. I look at 11 on the internet, and here's what it said. It said, a substance, typically yeast, that is mixed into dough to make it what? Rise and expand. There is something about the kingdom when we get it right, it's going to cause its release. It's going to cause its rise, expansion, its multiplication, and there's nothing anybody or anyone can do about it. Amen? Sometimes it's got to be in the oven. Every time it's got to be in the oven. Amen? But these measures, now I believe the woman that's mixing here is that proverbial 31 woman, Holy Spirit. I believe that she's in charge of the mix. Amen? Why didn't the people of Israel, the children of Israel, why did not they enter the promised land? Unbelief. It says not being mixed with faith. And said, we have a word of a promised land preached to us just like they did. They had a natural land. We have a promised land that's going to be obtained by faith. And we have to do it the way God said to do it. They didn't enter in because of unbelief. They didn't mix. There wasn't the proper mix there. And you don't get the mixture right, what happens to the dough? I'm not a baker, but I've seen them fall a couple times. I come in there, I'm like, what happened to that thing? That's inverted. They're going the wrong way. You're supposed to be up, full, fluffy, expansive. Man, you inverted, you done flattened out. That's not the way of the kingdom, amen? Eventually, the kingdom is supposed to, amen? And not to hide. You're not going to hide that kind of kingdom. That kingdom can't be hidden. When that kingdom starts expanding, you can't hide it. So I want to look at what I believe these three measures, based on what we've been teaching lately, I want to look at these measures. So go to Hebrews chapter 11. So Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is substance. Your faith is going to turn into substance. Of the thing you hope for. The thing you hope for is your promise. It's going to turn into a living substance of what you're hoping for. And it's going to turn into evidence of the thing that's not yet seen. There's such a substance when it's done right, and an evidence that what you see, what you carry on the inside, is more real than what's here. In fact, it's so real that you're commanding this realm to follow you where you are now, or where I am. I like to say where I am in the I am. Follow me, because what's in me is greater truth than what I'm looking at down here. Amen. That's substance. That's evidence. So through faith, we understand the worlds. Now, I actually believe this is talking about creation here. Generations can mean generations too, but I actually believe this is talking about the world, the universe, everything that was created in the beginning. The worlds were framed by the word of God, set in motion, framed, constructed, formed, and fashioned. Watch this. By the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by the things that do appear. Everything that's seen, universe, stars, moon. I mean, this earth is pretty grand. You ever been to the Grand Canyon? When you go to the beach and just look at the ocean disappear. Everything that you see was not made by what you see. It was made from the created realm of the Father's heart. He envisioned this a long time before it ever released. It was in his imagination. It was in the living creative imagination of the Father. You were in the living created imagination of the Father, the creative realm of the Father. You, your life. But see, in his creative imagination, you look different than you look now. Amen. Your life takes on something else when we get into the Father. It takes on a whole nother image. Let us make man in our image. God's all about it. He's all about his original mandated image. And if anything in your life doesn't line up with that image, then the Father doesn't even recognize it as truth. We might recognize it because we're wearing it, but he doesn't recognize it. Orphan spirit. God doesn't even recognize orphan spirit. Only thing he'll do is shift it, transform and change it if it comes into his love, because he doesn't recognize that as truth. He doesn't see you as an orphan. He doesn't see you sick. He doesn't see anything concerning the curse of sickness, disease, poverty, debt, lack, the fallen nature of man. He doesn't see any of that as truth. He sees his image, what he's dreamed, his creative realm, his vision, his will for your life. That's what he sees. He doesn't vary because you do. He still holds you in one place, his full vision for who you are. And then he invites you in to come and dream into that or transform into it. Amen? To come and walk into it. Perambulate is the word we use. He says, so they're not made by the things that do appear. So what are they made out of? Faith is the mixer. Holy Spirit's the one in charge of the mixture, but faith is utilized to mix the ingredients. Faith is going to draw out from God what I believe these three measures are, receive them, mix them, and it's kind of the agency of mixing as the Holy Spirit's mixing, utilizing your faith to mix this bread of life, this creative bread, this creative manifestation of the Father's image for your life, for our city, for our community, for this nation. That's why, I mean, it's easy. The judgment people come and say, oh, this is a judgment of God. God doesn't give up on something. Listen, he told Abraham, he said, 10 righteous in the city, I'll spare it. 10, and that city was overturned with abominable idolatry. 10 righteous men, I'll spare it. And if Abraham would have just asked one more step down, went from 50 down to 10, God was saying, yep, I'll do it. Yep, 20, yep, 10, yep. What if he just asked for one, spared it right there? He had one righteous man, and they were groping for him. Probably would have spared it. He didn't ask. Amen? God is kind of like he'll send out something, and you got to come in to him and start the fellowship factor. Amen? But he would have spared it for 10. We've got a lot more than 10 in our nation. We got a whole church full of righteous people here. But I guarantee he'll spare our city because of what's sitting in this room. Because of what we understand. He wants everybody to know these mysteries. So don't jump on that wagon because there are evil men at work. There's righteous men at work too. It always looks like the devil wins to the end. Always. I want to look at these three mixtures, these three measures that faith's going to employ to bring out this creative realm of God, this kingdom that we call kingdom that we very rarely see. We see church a lot. We see manifestations of the kingdom, but we want to see fullness of kingdom. Amen? That's what God's after. That's what he's after this hour. So let's go to John chapter 5 and let's see this first one. This is the biggie right here. This is the one that I love. John, boy, he caught it. Oh, man, did he catch it. When he laid his head on the breast of the Lord, he caught the mysteries. And nobody wrote like John did. Man, he caught it all. Praise God. Thank God he caught it. Amen. Thank God we caught it. Praise God. Apprehending, laying hold of it. Ultimately, God wants the expression of his kingdom so Father can love humanity through us the way he wants to love them. He wants us to do more than say, I love you. He wants to show his love the way he likes to show it. He likes to stand in front of a wheelchair and not only say, I love you, say, come out. This is how much I love you. You don't even look anything like your image. Let me show you my image of you. Come out of that wheelchair and stand and walk. That's my image of you. Walking and praising, well, that's my image. Not some religious doctrine that says you're supposed to be there. That's my image. The creative realm. When Father's present, there's always creative. Amen. John 5:17, Jesus answered and says, my Father worketh hitherto and I work. My Father's working and I'm working. Now God, the Father, He works in the realm of the earth. He just doesn't ever touch down. He always does it through the Lord and now through us. But He does work. He is the foundation of all of it. Amen. And notice verse 19. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I'm going to give you a good mystery on this one too. Verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself. You got to get that down, that Jesus did not do these things of Himself. He had to do it just like you. He did not get to do that through the authority of being the Son of God. He had to do it through the authority of being a Son of God. Just like you. Could not do it without the Father. Did not do it without the Father. He said nothing. That's in red. Say nothing of Himself. Amen. The Son can do nothing. But what He seeth the Father do. And what things soever the Father doeth, these also doeth the Son. So whatever's happening, it's already being done. Already experienced as done, seen as done, and manifested in the same way that it was seen. So somewhere, the Lord had a little bit bigger relationship with Father than we have up to this point, where He could see these things, not just see them like a prophetic vision. No, He was living in it. He was in the creative realm of the Father. Amen? That word doeth means to create, to make, to fashion, to construct. I can only create what you see created here when these blind eyes become brand new, and they eyes that can see this creative realm that you're watching unfold with this man 38 years in a wheelchair. I'm not doing this. I can only do what I've already seen my Father, because my Father already worketh, and we've already done this once inside of Him in this realm of the creative realm of the Father that the Lord's inviting you into. Amen. Now I can only do what I see. Seeing is a major fundamental part of the operation of the hundredfold glory, or the mystery of how the kingdom works. It is seen in the Father. We've been in this a lot lately. Perambulating in the Father. Dwelling in the Father. Living it in the Father. Tapping into the creative realm of the Father, where His thoughts towards us are more numerous than the sand of the sea. That realm of the Father is getting opened up now. We're starting to see. Starting to see some stuff. That's more than just God giving His word. He gives us the word to invite us in to dream with Him. That doesn't mean He doesn't operate like that, but He's still operating in the sphere of authority. So for even the Holy Spirit to lead us in areas, He's always going to be working in the sphere of authority. He's under authority. He knows our authority. He knows where we are. He's not going to put you in a situation you don't have the faith for. He's going to operate in that sphere of authority. That's why He's not going to have somebody come and drop 50 wheelchairs in here. If you don't have that authority, why bring them out of the hospital in here to pray for them and it happens? He's not going to do that, because even though legally that's our inheritance to function like that, this is not where we're at yet. Yet. But you can be there. We have to go into the Father for that realm, because He sees them all whole. I promise you, when people get to heaven and say, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you go to the children's hospital in that city and empty the whole... It's all yours. You ever heard the people go to heaven? They go to the room where all the miracles are, and they got all the body parts, and the Lord always takes, they always take them there. So many of them go there, and they see all those body parts there. He said, this is for all the people. It's for everyone. I've made a way. It's all theirs. All they got to come and get it. I'm going to just come get it. It's in a mystery of how you get it. If it wasn't in a mystery, we would have gotten it already. We got to learn how to get it. Amen. So we're learning. Part of it's that John 17:24, moving up in the Father. That's part of the realm of his glory where he showeth. Notice what he says. I like this. Verse 20, he says, the Father loves the Son. Say, the Father loves me. Stick yourself in that verse. I can only do what I see my Father doing. Whatsoever things he doeth, I can do. The Father loves me. Father loves me. Watch this. And showeth him. He shows me all things that himself doeth. That's another verse you need to put in your daily confession. What's the first verse? I've been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. What's the second one? The Father shows me. Father, thank you. Show me all things that you do. Show me. He likes to show. God is the inventor of the show and tell. It's where he does that. A lot of times we don't get that because we don't get positioned properly. We get positioned, he shows a lot of stuff. Because we're with him. He can't help himself. He loves you. And he's going to unload his image on you, of you, and who you are. Because that's the first thing he's going to adjust, is you, me. We have to have the judge. Doesn't make us perfect. It's like we have to just make perfect thing before he ever does that. He may use Peter way before he is perfect. But he likes to get the orphan out before he gets moving in joint heirship. First thing you do is purge that orphan. Gets the dysfunction out. Gets you thinking like he thinks. Gets you looking at things the way he looks at them. Not doubting every time. Getting the unworthiness out and the fear out and getting it all out so you can believe the way he believes. Because what good if he shows you things and you can't connect to the frequency because you're too tied up with the old things. He showeth him all things. Got to believe him when you come in there. Father, grant the spirit of wisdom. Show me all things. I am a son and I am a legitimate joint heir with Christ. And now I walk in that joint heir. Show me what you do. Open this realm of my spirit into the creative realm of your heart. For I've already been given this state of union with you. I'm already there. I am in you, Lord. We are in the Father. I am in this realm of your heart. Open mine eyes to see that creative realm. I'm going to give you a mystery here. He said, for the Father loveth the Son, show them all things he doeth. He'll show them greater works than these, that you may marvel. Oh, I've heard all the things about the greater works. I'm going to tell you what those greater works are. Listen, there are greater quantity of works, but you're not going to do much greater than he did. I mean, heal blind from birth, raise the dead, 38 years in wheelchair. I mean, the things, those works, lunatics. I mean, there was a time he went over there and Dunamis said, Dunamis, create a power, float out of him and healed them all. Disease, lame, blind. When the kingdom is at hand, they'll come from every city around. They will converge. I had this message called the press. They will come into the press. It says, the Bible says he hid into a room and says, tell no man I'm here because of the press. He could, but the word says he could not be hidden. The apostles were full-time crowd management. Could you imagine every single day they had to do crowd management all day long? The woman come into the issue, and he turned around and said, who touched me? He said, Master, the multitudes are thronging you. What do you mean, who touched me? They're all over you. We're worn out. We need a break. 15-minute break, Master. 15. I mean, they worked. That's some serious stuff. That's kingdom flowing out. Maimed, lame, poor, blind. I mean, he was ministering the creative realm of the Father because he lived in the creative realm of the Father. So he saw everything the way the Father saw it. He did not see the poor, lame, and blind. He saw them all whole. Because he came out of the realm of the Father, doing the Father's will, which is the original creation. Everything always lining up with the original mandate of creation. Wholeness, health, fullness, prosperity, blessings. That's what John, at the end of his life, said, I wish above all things you'd be in good health. As you prosper, even as your soul prospers. Health, prosperity, and the prosperity of soul. He goes, these are all parts of the kingdom of God. Now, he said, greater works. What are the greater works? He says, oh, my Father is showing me greater than these. You want to talk the creative realm? Look at the next verse. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. He's not talking about the raising of the dead. He's talking about raising a dead man's spirit. He goes, you want to see the creative realm? God, my Father's showing me that you may marvel. He's already shown me what he really wants to do. He's going to take a dead man's spirit that was confined to the spiritual death, and he's going to recreate it into the pure life of God and put eternal life in there where there's eternal death. That's creative. He's talking about the born again. I mean, we do the born again all the time, but if you remember back when you were first born again, that incredible transformation, that's what he was looking at. Taking all of creation. He said, these greater works, I'm going to take the fallen creation and bring them back into full restoration. And then I'm going to take that spirit. Now I can put that spirit in the presence of the Father. And he can heal, make whole the body, the soul, and I'm going to bring you into fullness. Say fullness. See, he's talking about the creative realm. So the creative realm would be measure number one. That's how he did it. That's how we're going to do it. Amen? I can only create in what I see my Father creating. Amen? What's number two? Go to Romans chapter 1. All this is invisible to the world, but it's made visible to you. You'll see this. You're going to understand how the Father shows you. You're going to get connected to the frequency of it, and it's going to just fuel your faith. Man, I'll tell you what, on and on these days are coming out of the prayer closet just zinging right now. We go in one way with our coffee, and we come out, whoa. Man, I'll tell you, something happens in there. Faith is charged. There's just no room for doubt or unbelief anymore. Can't find it. I'm looking at the Father's plan. It's glorious. I'm prophesying, decreeing it, coming out from the Father, decreeing this realm. You follow me where I am and the I am. You're not truth anymore. You're fact. I live in a place of truth. Romans 1 verse 20. For the invisible things. See, the earth was created, see, but it wasn't created by anything that was visible. It was created by the invisible things. From the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. In other words, everything you see made was created from an invisible substance that faith grabs a hold of. And what is that substance? Even his eternal dunamis, say dunamis. Power. The Bible says we sit. He sitteth at the right hand of dunamis power. You can't dwell in the right hand of God without dunamis getting on you. He said the God of all hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you will abound in hope through what? The dunamis creative power. Paul to the Ephesian church, two great prayers. One for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Eye of your heart be flooded with light. Second one was for dunamis. Say dunamis. Dunamis is a major fundamental operation. We have to have it's the creative realm. That's how Mary was impregnated. That's how Sarah conceived. Dunamis caused that conception. That's how that woman, it said virtue flowed out of him. That was dunamis. He was filled with dunamis. Flooded with dunamis. That woman grabbed the hem of his garment and dunamis flowed out from his garment. He carried dunamis. He said virtue flowed out of him and healed them all. That is that healing creative virtue that comes out of the Father. It's a major, major fundamental thing that we have to possess. Lay hold of, apprehend all the time. Dunamis, dunamis, dunamis. Amen? That's where they get the word dynamite. It's that creative essence that he creates with. The Lord was full of it. I'm full of it. Paul said, pray it, pray it. Be filled with all creative dunamis power. Amen? When you abide and dwell, dunamis. Man, I hit dunamis 5 times in my prayer. I'll hit it in the tree of life. I'll hit it coming in, going out. When I'm in the Father, Father, I sit at the right hand of dunamis because I understand the necessity to be continually filled with dunamis. If I can't do it, then I need to get something that can do it. I know dunamis will get the job done. Amen? That's that second major. That's that factor. Got to have it. Want it all the time. Got to get it all the time. Yesterday's dunamis, it's like manna. You got to get it every day. Got to get that dunamis. There's dunamis creative provision for us. Amen? In fact, dunamis is a major fundamental part of the Father answering our prayer. In Ephesians 3, how does he say it at the end of that prayer in Ephesians 3? He says, now unto him that's able. That word's able is what? Dunamis. That is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to what? The dunamis. Dunamis power. That what? Worketh what? Now in him is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we ask, think, or imagine in his heart. According to what? According to the power, that's dunamis, that's working where? In. Got to constantly be after it. Just do it in your prayer time. Just dunamis all the time. You should pray that prayer every day. Shouldn't be a day go by without praying that prayer. I'm serious. You should pray the first prayer too. Ephesians 1, Spirit of Wisdom and Revelation. I have my heart be flooded with light. So that I be singly interwoven in Christ alone. Your whole body will be filled with the light of the kingdom of God. But your eyes got to be fixed and focused. It's got to be number one. God and kingdom has to be first, foremost, and number one. Then you'll get filled with the light of the kingdom. Making second choice, and whatever you put in front of him, that's what you'll get flooded with. That's what will get up in you. You got to keep that garden filled with light, filled with dunamis, filled with the Father's creative image. So it's invisible. It's not visible, invisible to you. It's still invisible, but that's what he creates with. Whew. When you see the creative, you see dunamis in action. That's what the Holy Spirit's, what the Lord uses. What's the third one? We understand that the worlds were what? Framed by what? The Word of God. Say Word of God. Now, I'm going to say it like this, the Word of the Kingdom. It's not just any word. Some words are instructional words. This is the Word of the Kingdom. That's the third one. But not just the Word of the Kingdom. The spoken word, say the spoken word of the kingdom from the realm of as it were. Abraham called things that be not as though it was, because he was standing in the though it was realm with the Father, and he called that realm, called it, see, called it from be not to as it, into the realm of reality. That word, that word, that spoken word, that measure, that one. Now that word grows in you. It starts with you holding, keeping it, understanding it, keeping it. And then it moves you into the Father, opens the Father's creative realm to you, opening dunamis, and you speak from that realm. When we put those three measures together, what I believe, bam, that's the it factor. I want the cake to rise. I want to open that oven. I don't see a flat cake. I want that thing blowing out, man. I don't care if it blows out. I don't care if I don't mind blow out. Blow out to the right, left, but just blow out. I want to see some serious expansion. Rise, multiplication, this leavening effect that takes place. Because somebody got the ingredient right, and bam. And look, the Lord said, hoot, there it is right there. See, the Lord created John. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with the Father. The Word was God, with God, but was God. The same was in the beginning. Amen. All things were made by him. The Lord and the Holy Spirit made the whole earth. They created, but they utilized all three of these. We already know dunamis was there in the creation of the world. Can we agree on that? Go to Genesis chapter 1. So, because sometimes people, you know, they eat a cake. It tastes so good. They don't care how it was made. It's good. Dang. But if you're a baker, man, I didn't know how you did that. If you want to reproduce it. See, the reproducers, they're always going to know, how'd you do that? The eaters will eat and say, dang, that was good. The reproducers, I need to know how you did that because I want to do that. I want that recipe. Amen. Somebody give me that recipe. See, I want the recipe. I don't want to see the Lord do a miracle and say, dang, that was awesome. I say, can I have the recipe for that miracle? I want to know how you did that. Amen. I want to understand that mystery of how this creative realm works. We're after the recipe. We can put some stuff up in the oven. Amen. Bake away. Guess who the oven is? You are. He bakes all this up inside you. Genesis 1, verse 1. Okay, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. That means desolation, chaos, emptiness. Now, for a minute, I want you to just forget about Holy Spirit brooding over the face of the waters. I just want you to look at your life for a minute. See, we have form and void right now. But when you're looking at God, comparing it to God's will, we're not in form and void yet. We're without form and void. I mean, because God's will is so, his creative design, this divine design that's in the Father for us from this place over here. Okay, I'm going to be Father over here. You guys are going to be the beginning. This is the beginning. This is the realm. I'll come over here so I'm not speaking this on. So the realm, it's disorder. It doesn't look like disorder because it's familiar to us. This is the way we've done it always. This is the way we do it. This is the way it's always been, right? But from God's design, looking from here, that looks like chaos. That looks like disorder. That's emptiness. That's without void. And he says, call you out of the darkness. How many of you are encountered with God and man, you felt like night and day? Why? Because he called you out of the disorder. He called you out of what you was familiar to you, but suddenly when the light came, like, dang, that's like night and day, right? That's what he sees. So for instance, for the sake of this train, just look right now. It's hard to see that unless you see the Father's plan and the Father's will and the Father's glory. You don't see that. Dunamis can't help you if you can't see what dunamis is supposed to do. That's why you have to have the seeing factor. But if you see the design, it's different. Like night and day different from where you are. That's why we have to get into the Father to see, man, what is it you want to do? Well, it doesn't look like you right now. Okay. Because, but we can change that. But I need you to dwell here with me for a while. I need to love you. And then I'm going to share the multitude of my thoughts. But my thoughts are not like your thoughts. My thoughts are creative. They have essence in them. And when I share the creative thoughts, they have dunamis in them. They're the thoughts of the Word of God that's become a reality, a rhema, living reality. And all of this comes in. All these three measures become one in this realm called the Father. That's the good news, by the way. John 17:24, all three of the realms get automatically integrated in one. But from this realm, then you look back to that realm. You see that? That's what he's saying. So watch God. Watch what happens here. He says, in darkness covered the face of the deep. Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit, he's hovering now. He's hovering. Because we're not talking about just doing a service with the gifts of the Spirit. Holy Spirit's hovering. We're talking about a transformation of the way we do things. A fundamental transformation of the entire system of how we operate. He's hovering, waiting for something to be spoken. But notice where God spoke. Where did God speak from? Did he speak from the waters? Or do you speak out of himself? He spoke out of himself, right? And he said, what did he say? And God said, let there be light. Light was the first creation in the earth, the very first creation. Light is a creative force spoken from the Father. Now, he spoke that from a divine design that he just an arbitrary let there be light. He already envisioned it. He already was in his imagination, his creative imagination, his creative heart. in this realm of its created glory. He saw all this. So when he spoke it, he's calling it out from where he is. He says, you don't look, you're without form, you're without void, you have chaos. I say now from the creative realm, let there be light. In other words, come to where I am. And the Lord was waiting from that word that came out of the creative realm, the Father. It's different. What we're trying to do is minister faith in the midst of the chaos. That's called chaotic faith. It works, but it's chaotic all the time. It's very hard to operate in chaotic faith because you're always in the middle of the storm when you're doing it. When you're not in the middle of the storm, you're in the Father, you're calling that chaos into order now. I'm going to frame that whole thing. You're going to come in alignment with what I see now in the Father, because this is not my will, even though I'm involved in it. I'm inside His will, which is a whole lot greater than my will would have ever been, because His will is glorious. It's full of love and fullness and life and joy and blessings and glory. And I'm going to speak to this realm from that realm. I'll say, now follow me where I'm seated, because I've got some dunamis on me. I have some of the Father's creative thoughts in me, and I'm speaking that word to the realm that be not, and though it were where I'm at. You see that? That's what he did. He called that realm into where he was. Man, God the Father. You can say amen. Say amen. Say glory. So when he spoke and he called it in, that stuff was up in his generator. That's where he wants us. The good news is Jesus put us right smack in the middle of the Father's generator. In John 17, 24. He put us right there where the dunamis is, where the word is, where the creative realm of the Father is. That's the glory realm. Why? Because it's him that is to come. Him that was, is, and is to come. When we can speak from that realm. Amen? That's where that creative life, that's where things will start obeying here and following. Amen? And that glorious. So as we begin to operate this measure, we're going to start seeing the creative realm of the Father flow out. And this earth realm is going to start conforming to the image of what's in His heart. The problem we have right now is we don't have enough people in the Father's heart speaking, being clothed in the image and speaking from it. But God wants to change that. He wants to call a generation into His heart and speak from that image, so that image will transform the whole generation that we're living in. But if you live into the new cycle and start looking at the new cycle all the time, it's got an image. It's programming you for an image. And it's a battle of the images right now. You're never going to win being programmed like that, because that's not the way God thinks. And you're not going to fix any of that now. It's too far gone by human capacity. It's not going to get fixed. What's going to fix this world? The politicians are not going to fix this world right now. God's going to fix it. Politicians can provide some foundation. God's going to fix it. A river of life is going to flow out from His people. And everywhere this river goes, wherever this river goes, everything that's dead will live again. You're going to be in the Father speaking. You see that? See the difference? That's why it hasn't worked in that realm. That's the hundredfold. That's what I believe is going to cause this leavening effect, where this realm leavens right in front of our eyes, and suddenly it leavens from all this chaos into this mixed chaos. And whew, look at that. That looks like God right there. And you're going to walk up and say, you know, I saw you 3 months ago, but about time you showed up. Praise God. I've been calling you to follow me for about 6 months now, and it's about time. Hurry on up. Because I'm further out now, and I got some more stuff that needs to follow me. And so we're forever up in the Father's glory, seeing new things, new frontiers with the Father. And that's the life. He says the just will live by this kind of faith. That's what He wants from us. That's where He wants to take the limitation off of us. You're not going to get that limitation blown off of you until you get up in the Father. Amen. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. I said it. John 17, 24. Will you be with me where I am in the Father, that you behold my glory? All of these three measures are automatically infused into you there. If you can get there, you're going to have all that. That's what's going to be given to you. You're going to give access to the Father's glory of Him that is to come. You're going to be moving into a future state of the Father's will, future as it concerns you. And you're going to speak from that place, and you're going to be clothed in dunamis. And those mixtures are going to get up in your spirit. And that word you're carrying is going to start leavening, and faith's going to leaven. And all of a sudden, you're going to speak with authority, centurion authority. And this stuff's going to start following you. And you're going to constantly be in this place called John 17:24 because there's no limit there. And this realm's going to constantly follow you. And that's what God wants to get. He doesn't want us in the storm. He doesn't want us behind the storm. The Lord was never in the storm because He's always in front of it. When He said, let us go over the other side, what's the devil do? Throws up a storm. Where is the Lord? Sleeping in a boat, but where is He? He's not in the boat. He's already on the other side. He has to come back from the other side and said, oh, you little faith, I told you, let's go to the side. I'm there already. You're in a storm. I don't see the storm. That's why I'm sleeping. You see the storm because that's where you are, but that's not where I am. I am on the other side. As soon as I said, let us go, that's where I went because I'm the Word. I go what I say. You see that? He got to get us out in front. You are this cake He's baking. You're the bread of life for this generation. It's not you, it's Him in you, but He's using you. It's your spirit He's got to do, because He's got to get this creative realm into your authority. But He doesn't like trying to bring it into your chaos. He likes to be in His realm, not your realm. He likes to call you out of the chaos. We don't see it as chaos because we're familiar with it. He sees it as chaos. We don't. He sees the order. He calls us into His order. He acclimates to His order. And then we speak to this realm. Follow us into this glory. Follow us into this harmony. Follow us into this beauty. Follow us in with fullness of life. Follow, O soul, into wholeness. Follow, O body, into divine health. Follow the circumstances of my family and the generational wealth. Follow now into wisdom. House with the banah. Follow. Call your business to follow you. Well, I got one following me right now. Each time you do it, you're going to have more authority. You're going to go back, live in the creative realm some more. Come back into this realm. You don't look anything like where I've been. Follow me. You're going to go back in here. Oh, this is even bigger. You come back in here. Oh my God, I said you don't look anything. Follow. Eventually, this is all going to bow. And collapse. And when it collapses, everything you saw now is a reality. Kingdom of heaven has come to the earth now. That's the kingdom. That's what He's after. That's what He wants. And He wants it from us. Amen. We're in upper room. But boy, believe. Yeah, it's going to take something. You're going to have to get repositioned and do things a little differently. That's okay. He's offering us a whole lot to do exceedingly more than any one of us could do. 100 times 100 more than any one of us could do in the natural. And then He says the glory of the rear guard, angels too. What's the glory of the rear guard? They sit back here and says, finally we get to work. We get to see some creative realm. We've been waiting a long time for it.